So I'm Guy Heege, and I'm here with Janet Hayes, founder of Healing Minds NOLA and a passionate mental health advocate. And we're joined with by Anne Morrell and Josephine Heller, who is an attorney with Manasseh, Gill, Knipe, and Belanger. And we're here today to talk about a piece of legislation that these three are looking to push that will deal with people who are being interrogated while they have are suffering from mental illness. So how what brought you three together in terms of finding each other to work on this piece of legislation? How did this begin?
Well, I got a phone call in my office one afternoon from the managing partner, one of the managing partners, Robbie Gill, and he asked me to come down to meet Miss Anne Morrell, who's the mother of David Morrell. And he told me that this was a case that originated out of New Orleans. And I came to learn that factually, on December 18th of 2014, David was in his home with his parents, just enjoying a week before Christmas, when all of a sudden the house was surrounded by all kinds of federal agents, local agents from the state police, Homeland Security. They had a warrant to bust the door down of the Morrells. Come to find out that Davey, who is now my client, has an IQ of 63. He has an intellectual disability, has had this intellectual disability ever since he was a child. And Miss Anne tried to tell the police at that time that he had some disabilities and she wanted to be present during his questioning. They absolutely refused that request by her. And instead, they interrogated Davey by himself for 3 hours. And I'll let Miss Anne kind of give you a bit of an illustration of what that scene looked like in her house and how she told the police that she wanted to be present during that questioning.
Yes, they rang the doorbell, and I was just getting over reconstruction surgery for breast cancer, because I found out I had breast cancer and went through numerous surgeries. So I let the doorbell ring 2 times because I thought maybe it was my daughter coming, and I went to open the door. When I did, I was pulled outside of my house and was faced with an automatic rifle in my face, and didn't tell me what they were there for, just barged in. And there was like 20 people out there. I kept asking, you know, what are you here for? They wouldn't give me an answer. I told them my son was, you know, mentally challenged. Can you please tell me? Wouldn't tell me anything. Until finally they came downstairs with my son and pulled me inside the house and told me that they had a warrant for his arrest for downloading child pornography and viewing child pornography. And I told him, you know, he's mentally challenged. You know, he's got a low IQ, he's not going to be able to answer your questions. Can I be present? Can I call an attorney? No, you need to sit in the other room. So I sat in my den while they had him in the dining room, and they interrogated him for 3 hours. And I kept telling the detective over and over that he was mentally challenged, he didn't care. He said, well, he graduated from De La Salle. I said, yes, he did, but not a true graduation. He went through special education. It's different. It's totally different. But he had, you know, he could care less about it. So they continued. And then finally, this went on for 3 hours. I was there crying, of course, all upset and everything. And then finally they told me that they were arresting him and taking him to OPP. They let me go in and tell him goodbye, but they told me, do not show any type of emotion because we'll stop it right away. So I had to suck everything in and go tell him, you know, I'm sorry, you know, you're going to OPP. We're going to do whatever we can to get you out. And they handcuffed him and took him away, which was very hard to see my son being treated like that because of him being mentally, it's like a child inside of an adult body. So they took him off, and from there, we contacted our attorney, Mr. Winsberg, and then we contacted Joe to see if they could help us to get our son out of jail. And he's been in jail since December 18th. He was put in OPP. He was put in where he was locked down for as long, all day. He was only able to come out for 1 hour a day. And he was separated from the population because prior to that, he got punched in the eye when he was in general population because they heard what he was in there for, so they moved him. And since then, he's been moved to St. Tammany, where I can visit him once a week for only 15 minutes. And I can speak to him, and he seems to be doing okay, but again, he's like a child. So luckily, a lot of the prisoners, I guess, can, talking with him, realize that he's, you know, got a problem, and they've been very supportive for him, and so far nothing has happened to him, and by the grace of God. And he's fine. I mean, he's like, he doesn't realize the seriousness of it. He thinks that he's going to get out, and he's going to come home, and he just doesn't realize. And I think for a case like that, there needs to be individual basis where they can see, okay, this person is either intellectually challenged, has a mental illness. We need to look at it differently, not putting them in jail. Yes, he does need counseling, I agree, but to put somebody in jail for that and want to, you know, do 10 to 20 years or whatever, when there's so many other people out there harming people, that they need to focus on that and help these people. And I'm sure my son is not the only one that's in jail with this type of, you know, problem. There's numerous people, so we want to try to help the other people and get a bill passed to
And I think what's important to note, to piggyback on to what Ian said, is the fact that David is a 32-year-old adult male. However, due to his intellectual disability, he is a 12-year-old boy mm-hmm. trapped in a man's body. And when these police officers started to interrogate him, one of the questions that you ask in order to jump to the next level to that interrogation is you have to Mirandize an individual. And you tell them, are you giving up your right to an attorney? Are you giving up your constitutional rights to speak to us? Are you giving up your Fifth Amendment right to self-incrimination? This is someone, a 12-year-old boy, who does not understand those constitutional rights, who does not understand what the Constitution means, who was not allowed to have an adult present who would be mindful of what those rights were, who could say, wait, stop, I want to have an attorney present. And that's at the point that we are at right now. Just like in juvenile law, when a juvenile is questioned by the police, an adult has to be present. And I think it's important that in situations where an individual, particularly an individual who has a mental illness or an intellectual disability, that when they are facing potential criminal prosecution, they should be entitled to have an adult present who can stop the questioning, if need be, and call an attorney, someone who can come in and take over and be there for that person while they're being questioned.
So there's nothing on the books now to give them?
Absolutely
nothing.
Nothing. And I think that's a gross injustice at this point, because particularly in New Orleans, and I think Janet can attest to that, what our mental health population looks like. Unfortunately, we have police who are not trained to handle those types of situations, and I think that Janet, being the mental health advocate that she is, and God bless people like her who are out there fighting for folks like this, she has, I enlisted her help after I read a brilliant article that she wrote regarding mental health individuals, or people with mental health illnesses being placed in the jail populations. I contacted her and enlisted her help to get on board with us in trying to get legislation up and running to make it a law where an individual who is being questioned by the police has that right to have an adult present. And Janet, I know, knows, can give you statistics on the mental health population, particularly here in New Orleans.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm grateful that you did reach out to me, Joe, and so that I can help any way that I can. But yeah, basically, in our jails around the country, the population runs anywhere from, it's about 17% of inmates have severe mental illnesses like schizophrenia, bipolar disease, or chronic severe depression, and are suicidal. But the jail population in total is about six. They say it's about 60-65% of inmates have some kind of mental illness. Mm-hmm. Maybe not a serious mental illness, but some kind of mental deficiency. And so I wrote the op-ed basically on the basis that I just don't think people with mental illnesses should be in jail at all, and we should look for ways to divert people back into the community and community services before they ever end up incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And the reason is really because what's happened is, since Ronald Reagan killed the Mental Health Care Act, and there's, of course, a long story behind that as well, we criminalize people for their behavior. But it used to be just violent behavior, people that were a threat to the community. But now people are criminalized for all kinds of behavior. They could be pushing a shopping cart down the street, and they get criminalized for that. In Davey's case, he didn't understand what he was doing. He was curious. He's a boy in a man's body. He was curious about pornography, so he was downloading this stuff on his computer and no idea where it was coming from or what he was doing or he was breaking any laws. And to be honest, I didn't really know that. I mean, I wouldn't have known that either until I teamed up with you guys and found out about the consequences of doing that sort of activity. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that are, you know, that do download all kinds of things onto their computers all the time and are breaking copyright laws and all sorts of other things that don't even know that they are. So... But as far as people with mental illness, yeah, I just think it's a waste of resources. It's inhumane, and you know, as a society, if we don't look at cause of a person's behavior, but only the behavior, I think we've failed. And so that's so any way that I can help, I think passing this kind of legislation to protect people who are lower IQ or do have a mental illness. Who don't understand the consequences of their actions need some kind of adult protection or oversight so that they're treated fairly by the law. Because, I mean, a lot of people that end up in jail end up there because they're in psychosis. When a person's in psychosis, they are not in a mental state where they can determine what's right for themselves. And we know that because we have a law that says a person can be deemed not guilty by reason of insanity. So if it weren't true, then why do we have a law that says a person, when they are in psychosis, are not sane?
So going to back to this legislation, where is it at in the process? Has it been drafted? Is there a sponsor for it?
Initially, we did have a sponsor. However, the senator who we had met with, who was going to sponsor it, unfortunately is not running for re-election. Mm-hmm. However, we do have other names and other folks out there that we are in the process of talking to get behind this, and we believe that we will get support because it is an important potential piece of legislation that I think needs to be put out there and needs to be put on the books. For these types of individuals. Like I said, you know, I'm an attorney. I went to law school for 3 years. Colleagues of mine have gone to law school for 3 years. It took us that long to understand the Constitution. It took us that long to understand what your Sixth Amendment rights are, what your Fifth Amendment rights are. And when an individual is being stopped by the police and starts being questioned for the first time, they don't know what that means. They don't understand what rights you were truly giving up when you start talking to the police. And I think that this community should be given an opportunity to have an adult present who does understand what rights are, what the rights are that they're giving up, or the you know, be able to stop and say, wait a minute, he or she needs an attorney present. And so in terms of where we're at, we are trying to move forward to get something passed for next session.
And I think also, Josephine, that had you been able to be present with Davey, and had you called a lawyer and said, wait, you don't have to say anything,
right,
and protected his Miranda rights, that it wouldn't be where it is now with
right.
Davey facing potential sentencing. And you know, the amount of resources. I mean, honestly, Homeland Security, the state police, local, the feds, everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, are you kidding me?
And they knew that he had graduated from
De La Salle. Yeah, it's a Catholic high school.
So they knew that much about him, but
yeah.
They didn't look into...
They didn't know that, yeah, that he was mentally challenged. I'm like, okay.
Well,
and even telling them, that was like, you know, I don't care. Yeah, we're going to continue. And the questions were so leading. I mean... Davey will agree to anything just to satisfy you. So
mm-hmm.
anything that, he's such a loving child, anything you tell him, like he's like a child. Yeah, yes. He will not, you know, say, well, no, I didn't. You know. Of course, some of the questions that they asked him, he did say no. They were trying to insinuate some other things. He would, you know, say, no, I wouldn't do that. But then continue. I mean, if you think about it, if you're sitting there and you're being interrogated by three detectives, good cop, bad cop, and you've heard it, you've seen it on TV, you know, you've seen it on the crime shows, they will keep going and going and going, so finally you just agree, so you can just, at the beginning, oh no, we're not going to arrest you, Davey, we're just going to ask questions, but we know the answers to them, so don't lie to us.
So you could hear, during the whole time you could hear?
I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, okay.
They gave me a CD after everything to listen, but I can only listen to 20 minutes of it because I just...
Okay, so you haven't listened to the whole thing?
No, but
Josephine has.
Well, I have, and that's, and I don't want to get too much into detail regarding that, but there were statements made that had an attorney been present, it would have gotten shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, to get back to David graduating from De La Salle, he didn't graduate like you or I have graduated.
Right.
I mean, this was a certificate in special education classes and things like that. So it's not a regular high school diploma or GED. But again, based on this interrogation, I think it is extremely important that someone like David and others like him, and people with mental illnesses, definitely have someone present who can either say no, you know, we're going to stop this, we're going to call an attorney, or let me have a minute with this person. I know this person. Let me try to talk to them and explain to them what this is about and what rights you're asking them to give up. It's just, I just think it's such an egregious situation to place an individual in that you're essentially, David was forced to give up his constitutional rights in this situation, not understanding what was being explained to him, and then having answers put in his mouth. You've taken away his constitutional rights single-handedly. The law enforcement took it away from him, and I think that was a gross injustice, and I think that we need to step up and get some sort of legislation in place that will allow at least an adult present during that type of interrogation when someone is potentially facing criminal prosecution.
Certainly, and there's definitely enough time for you to be advocating for this
mm-hmm.
bill and getting and finding new sponsorship for it before
yes.
the legislation.
Absolutely,
comes
and that's why we're here today to tell Davey's story, get it out there. And not just his story, but people like him.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to get a message out there, and we want to get our legislators and our senators on board in support of helping this very vulnerable segment of our community.
Right, who are usually the ones that get swept up into the criminal justice
yeah.
system without any kind of real representation
right.
and access to good legal counsel.
They
right.
get swept up and they get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate because there are many folks out there, unlike David's family situation, who is a very cohesive family and who stands behind him, there are a lot of folks out
mm-hmm.
there, as Janet can tell you, that don't have that support system.
No.
Their families have given up on them.
Right.
And they're just out there on the streets. You know, people that you pass every day and just take for granted, these folks don't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And law enforcement, and although I have the greatest respect for law enforcement, but... You know, we're not perfect, and I think that also there needs to be some sort of training
mm-hmm.
for law enforcement when they do encounter people like this, especially someone like David who has an intellectual disability, that you take extra precaution with someone like that, and in this situation, and try to explain to them what his situation was, and she tried to say, look, let me talk to him, let me be present. And she could have stopped it and called an attorney, but they disallowed that.
And luckily they're in New Orleans now. Cecile Thibault is sort of heading up the CIT training, the what does CIT stand for again? Anyway, basically train police
how to deal with
people with mental illnesses when they have an encounter, but so that they're not just treating them for bad behavior and often beating them up. I'll think of it. I'm just drawing a blank right now, but also have to give real credit to Anne for coming forward to tell this story, and
absolutely,
because there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from it that would benefit us as a whole society in humanitarian ways, but also in economic ways, and people should really be concerned about this. And, you know, I think as far as Miranda rights go, I mean, how many people really do know their Miranda rights? So I think that publicizing this and coming out and telling this story will bring a lot of attention to the case, and people need to be paying attention. So
I think I agree with that, and I think we all have a responsibility as citizens to make a difference in our community. And I think that this is a case in point where we can draw on Anne's situation and David's situation, and we can use this and all come together and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make a difference for people like Davey and people with mental illnesses. And a lot of, I think, folks with mental illnesses, a lot of them are homeless.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, you take these people for granted. You pass them on the streets every day. And they do get into situations where they face potential criminal prosecution, and they need to be treated and respected just like anybody else who is in a situation like that. They should be able to, you know, at least have someone present who can be their voice. You know, you and I know if we get stopped by the police, we understand what's going on.
Right.
But this is a segment of the community that does not necessarily do that. So I think we have to treat them a little bit differently and give them a voice when they face that type of situation. And, you know, we're in the business, or I'm in the business, to seek the truth and to find justice. And I think this is certainly one avenue that we need to explore and get moving on it.
Anne, thank you so much.
Are
there any last words that you want to leave us with before?
I'm just so thankful for Joe. She's been terrific through the whole case. It's just been wonderful. And
thank
God we found Janet. Janet's just so compassionate about what she's, you know, what she's advocating for, and hopefully a lot more legislation can get involved and see that, yes, there is a problem, and yes, we need to look at it and focus on it and get this bill passed. And I'm sure there's many other families out there that are dealing with this, and hopefully that can help their loved ones.
Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Good luck with your case, with your son's case, and with getting this legislation out there. That was Josephine Heller of Manasseh, Gill, Knipe, and Ballinger, Anne Morrell, and Janet Hayes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gigi.